That's a really fantastic piece of music. Unfortunately, it's time for me to say goodbye. That's Adnos number 3 from the collection Adnos 1 through 3. That one is from 1982. And before that, we heard an excerpt from Adnos 2 from 1980. And at the beginning of that set from 1988, Kema, Intermediate States, we heard an excerpt of that piece. And I hope you've enjoyed some of this music by the late Eliane Radig. She passed away this week at the age of 94. An incredible artist. Huge body of work. Check out, you know, some of what's available out there. There's amazing work. All right, well, I have to say goodbye now. Miracle Nutrition comes up at 6. This is Freeform Radio, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned for Miracle Nutrition. And tune in next week. The marathon begins on Monday. Hope all of you are ready to hand over a few bucks to help us out. All right. Take care. Bye.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, for a fun show with a very jolting, short, abbreviated beginning.
Hello. Sunt io un vampira, si te rog iubira mia primerste ferrucira, allo, sunt io un Dracula. Tiam dat bib si sunt vonig, dar se sti nu te ser nimib. Vre se blesh, dar numa ye. I love this song on the whole music. I am calling a real estate agent in another... Oh, my God. Ah, yes. Allo, salut. I am Count Orlok, calling from Transylvania. I am interested in purchasing some property from you. Perhaps a castle? Yes, I don't know, maybe 20 bedrooms, 10 bathrooms? No, oh, they don't have bathrooms. All right, but it must have a basement for my extensive collection of crypts and coffins. Yes, oh, some of them are marvelous. I've been collecting for years. Though there's some that are whimsical. I have a Simpsons one. Yes. From the 90s, I think. Yes. Oh, but they're all different. But anyway, I require this bath, not the basement for the coffins. Yes, so I am well enough to move, but not well enough to come for a meeting. So you must send an agent, the one with the pretty wife, to me in my castle. Yeah, so you know Kluznapolka? Okay, so you know the corner with the two mattress stores on the opposite corner? Yeah, all right. Well, I'm the castle on the third corner, Castle Orlok. Yes, I'm Count Orlok. Anyway, and yes, and then across from me is a tavern. A very paranoid, neurotic people. Don't go there. Tell him not to go there to Taverna Paranoia. Yes, just come straight to the castle. I cannot provide transportation at this time because I have lost my license. No, I didn't do anything. I don't know where it is. I have an ID, though, in the form of a stamp that I stamp on wax that I make myself from blood and wax. Yes. And then don't worry about, I have toiletries, and it is a sweet situation. It's a sweet situation. But he doesn't need to bring anything but, and I have the contract, because I like my contracts to be in illegible calligraphy. Justin, that's my version of small print. You can make the print very large and save terrible things, but it's so illegible. Is that an F or an S? I don't know. It is antiquated, but it's all perfectly legal here in what is now modern-day Romania. Yes, it is a strange way to put it. It is, but I'm an what they call an old head. Filled with strange ideas from the old country and the traditional ways. So if he has any dietary restrictions, tell him to load up on some sort of protein bars or something. Some of our local dishes are not for the timid. Yes, me? I like fingers. Oh, yes, chicken or fish fingers. They look like fingers. You can take 5 fish fingers, and you can, with toothpicks, attach them to a fish fillet and make a fish human hand. The children love that. When you make any of their food more gruesome, they will relish it. Long before my children developed a taste for blood and viscous, gooky tissue, I would make it out of jelly. It's just strawberry jelly. All right, I'll let you go. Please send that agent to my home. I will be awaiting him. The front doors are unlocked. They just seem locked because they are huge and heavy. Tell him to don't bother knocking. I can't hear anything. Just go ahead, push forth the doors with his hands. Until they part, revealing the inner sanctum of my home. I'll send a map. Okay. All right. Oh, my God, I'm sorry I did not realize the time difference. I thought Bavaria was the same zone. No? All right, well. All right. Okay, appreciate you. All right, bye, goodbye. My friends, I am currently trying to buy real estate in another country. And I worry about traveling there because I don't know if they have legal weed. And what if I won't be able to drink blood? I don't feel, oh, my appetite is not what it was for flesh. Unless I have something to calm my ancient nerves, I am a rotting corpse that has arisen from its grave, driven by its appetites, driven by its desires, blinded by them. What is this on my arm? Oh, my God. What is that? Oh, there's... I hope it is cancer and not a worm or something. Oh, it's so undignified being a corpse when things are living in you. Inferior little animals. Who says that you can live in my abdominal cavity or whatever? Look, look, Mom, nothing but cavities. All my organs are gone. It's like the difference between 70s and 80s rock and roll. No more organs. So I am free to end the grunge vampire. And as I said, looking to relocate. Bavaria, I have heard. I'm thinking of switching from blood to beer. And it feels like jumping from the thing over the fire. What would be over a fire? A witch. Jumping from the witch into the fire. So six of one, half a dozen of the other, but I don't know, but it's easier to get six beers than six virgin brides. And I'm just so lazy these days. You want everything is no contact delivery. And I wish, have you noticed this? Have you seen this? Have you seen this on the news? That there is a trend of the no contact. But I am a creature of the flesh. I require human flesh, the smell of it, the taste of it. And if you're just going to leave something at the door and press the bell and go, where does that leave me? Where does that leave? What am I supposed to do? Where's my pound of flesh that I would like to eat? And I don't think it's fair in many ways. Okay. How did you... No one asked me this, but I shall tell you. How did you, a nobleman, Count Orlog? I'm going to have to cut you off if this real estate agent shows. So I'm warning you ahead of time. I may not finish my stories. He may come and I might have to bamboozle him or whatever it is, get him to sign the thing, put the teeth in the neck or the chest they're doing now. For years, it's a lot like workout culture. It changes. You know, say, oh, you're not still doing upright rows. No, 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 no. So what I do now is I go right at the heart. I used to go the jugular vein in the neck. And then I went right for the... It's more graphic in many ways. It also is a young man's game because of all the bone. It's so soft. The neck is so soft. And then you say, well... You know, if you're really going to get into it, you need to challenge yourself. Different mouth textures and things. Go for the chest. It is a different thing altogether. You must get through muscle. I don't know if it's worth it. Lots of gimmicks they have now, like a straw you can punch through and drink from that. They have all these things, and I don't know. I'm more inclined to just do it the old-fashioned way, but, you know, change with the times. So now I guess it's just wait. I struggle with how this all happened, and, you know, am I a psychopathic narcissist? Yes, you got me. But I think what people misunderstand is I am a vulnerable narcissist. You don't realize my greatness. I must insist constantly. You know, all of this could have been avoided with some awards. I feel like I did not get in school enough medals. Had I received a certificate of achievement, I would not have this craving and this persecution complex. Coupled with my nobility of birth, it has become problematic for society. I recognize that. But whose life am I supposed to live? I should live a selfish, selfless existence? Well, I guess there's a happy medium between being a living undead and consuming flesh and, you know, just being discontent. And I probably could have written it out. It is not, on the balance, not worth being a vampire. What I object to is the comical takes on things. I'm going to get serious now because it bothers me, the comical takes on the vampires on the televisions or the movies, in which they are shown to be silly. And broad skeech comedy with the gags and the jokes. It is no gag being the Walking Dead or whatever I am. It's horrifying. And I just think that they are overlooking a lot of really deep moral, ethical, philosophical questions that arise from this, my predicament. And another thing. We know now that the accident of my birth in this part of the world. People feel comfortable mocking this, say, oh, I'm European, so I can mock another type of European. Can you? We are all proud cultures. In Europe, there are so many proud cultures, just county by county. Nothing but pride and hatred of the other inferior cultures. And we carry our traditions in dignity and oppose those other people who live 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers away with their strange dances that add extra notes where there is none needed. Or perhaps the colors of their costumes are slightly different, which is repulsive to us. I have known it is so wonderful, that much pride in that concentrated area. And the pride is in things like the way we cook meat, or certain folk dances. We are willing to kill for them. And that is the type of spirit. Also, here's another thing. I am actually Klingon. I am not Eastern European. And that is the strange, you've noticed my strange accent. They do not roll R's in Romania, do they? I don't know. I've just recently moved here. From Klingon. Is that the name of my planet? I don't know. I'm lying to you. All these are lies. It's a Romulan. I'm Romulan, and I'm from Romulus. And I'm pretending to be a Klingon to bring shame to them. Do not believe everything you hear on the radio. It is wrong. It is wrong, and often propaganda.
Back to the show. We have some great guests coming up for you. Great guests. That's right, Don. Don Bourgeoisie, our musical director and biggest fan. Biggest something, indeed. Our first guest you know from this show and others. He is the incomparable Lou Register. Lou Register, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Don.
Hi, Lou.
Hi, Hardy.
Hey, Lou, what is this, old home week?
I don't get it.
It's a mid-century quip when people are acting like it's a hometown reunion. It's a reference to a hometown reunion movement in the late 19th century, 20th century. Old home week.
I still don't get it.
So what's up in your world, Lou?
Well, you know, I'm always trying to learn more about British English.
Well, that's a little different than U.S. English, right?
Yes, it's a lot different. Not only is it pronounced differently, depending on what very small geographic area you're in, but they have completely different words sometimes. And often, just when I think I've got it, I'm embarrassed.
Well, can you give us an example?
Well, yeah. So when we say something like, oh, this is hard, that's a whine, right?
Yeah, whining.
Whining. Exactly. But they say whinge. So I thought I was really being savvy, going into a nice restaurant and asking for the whinge list.
The whinge list. All right, well, that wasn't right, right?
No. And, you know, they call private schools public schools. And since we call our genitals privates, I was like, hey, y'all must find it funny that we have a grocery store called Publix.
Ah, where shopping is a pleasure.
That's right, Don.
Well, that does sound confusing.
Yeah, and they are not being literal when they say blind me. They do not want you to blind them. They want God to blind them. And so they'll say God or core blind me, they say.
Well, that's very confusing.
Even more so when my doctor told me I needed more core strength.
Oh.
Yes, it's very dangerous. I was walking in London, and someone shouted at me, watch out for the open manhole. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not what you call them here.
It isn't?
No, it is. They do call them that. I was just being overly paranoid. Just as a general rule of thumb, when someone says watch out, just stop.
Well, hello, my friends. You know, I am sort of a vampire. But I don't suck blood. I suck radio. And I'm not saying radio sucks. I suck radio. How do you do that? It is my nourishment. I take it in like blood. I just sink my teeth into it. Hang on. You know, like a remora or whatever. You get to say, there looks something that looks succulent. I'm not going to deprive myself of that. I will latch onto it with my teeth and feed upon it. And perhaps it will not notice me on its soft underbelly. I do that when I latch my teeth onto radio. I eject a sort of anesthesia, and they don't even know I'm biting them. And so I've been hanging on with my circular toothy mouth to WFMU now for a long time under its belly. It's like a shark. You know, it'll die unless it keeps moving, and it does, but it can't look down. It doesn't have the type of eyes that come out of its head and can go, oh, my, look at my belly. Guess what's hanging there? Shark suckers. And I think it's a wonderful thing.
You know, you may have a parasocial relationship with me, but I have a, what do you call it, parasitic relationship with you. And I'm hanging on for dear life. Oh, it's a blessing. I love it. I don't want to drain you of your life forces. Not at all. That's not what I do. I'm more like a mosquito. And you don't blame the mosquito. The problem is other mosquitoes. They come in groups. If it was just the one, you'd be like, hey, buddy, I'm going to drink out of your arm. Is that okay? You go, yes, it doesn't even hardly hurt me. I am sometimes I let out something that numbs it. Okay. And if it's just one little, your little friend, mosquito, but it's like,
hey, we heard you're feeding mosquitoes.
It's like, no, just the one. Get away. And that's what it becomes problematic. And also, then you don't know where they've been. So, where you been?
We were over at Malaria Town.
Ooh. Nothing against those folks, but
I know.
That's now you say you're over here.
Mm-hmm. And we were at Dengue. So, if you're sleepy,
I don't know if they still have those kind of if a lot of bugs will bring you joy and heartbreak. You know, a lot of times insects can really inspire joy and, you know, at the very least, curiosity. Say, what is that? Why is there a giant beetle in my sock drawer? How does that, would that, did that come on it? You know, I don't, you know, sometimes you buy a plant at the nursery and say, oh, it has a little poisonous snake came with it. And I don't wonder if socks are like that with some, so, oh, there's a giant beetle now in my, there's some kind of century beetle, or I don't know if I made that up, but look at him. And what is that, a ball of dung he's got with him? Or who knows whether he trade?
I'm not a dung beetle, but I traded this. I traded one of your socks for it. So technically, we own this poo ball together.
Did you ever have that, have to share ownership of a ball of poo? That's never come up. But now that I've spoken it into existence, I don't wonder if it's also broadcast. I'm so sorry for half the things that aliens are getting. This is why they sent the three-eyed Alice. And because they were like, oh, we've been hearing a lot of nonsense coming from over there. Let's send the ship out to look. And it probably didn't like what it saw. The first thing it got, what was the first radio? I don't know. It would be misleading. Like if you did start at the beginning. So if you're an alien, you go, I built this radio receiver. Let's see what happens. And then we discover radio. And then the first thing is like, you know, hello, hello, can anyone hear me? Ahoy, or something. I don't know what the first thing, because nobody had the receiver's just in the next room or something. It was called, I think Marconi did the radio, and he called it the Marconium or something, a Marconium or something. And it was different than it is now. And now, we've moved past it. It feels like a phase. Oh, my goodness, but I have not forgotten it. No, I am a type of vampire that has risen from my grave where there's old radio people down here. I died years ago. No, but my profession did, which is interesting. Some people are interested in that. So does that matter? I don't know. I don't think so. What happened is, so they're not doing that type of radio anymore. And then you go to your grave, and then you're there a while, and you start hooking up with the old timers, especially if it's a crypt and there's other people in it. Hello, and it might go a little something like this. That's the crypt opening. Now, it's an annoying 40s radio character, but you can't tell the difference. That's his signature, though. Old Crypty or something. No, it's still the crypt opening. But then, out of it comes maybe Joe Penner or Jack Benny. I'm Googling as fast as I can, Hardy. You don't need to. The olds know.
That's before my time, even.
Well, it is my time, too. The only reason I know about Jack Benny is because you'd be watching a TV show and they'd go, ladies and gentlemen, Jack Benny. And you think, I'm curious about that. And then if you buy a portable tape recorder, then maybe you order a tape that's like the best of radio, classic radio shows.
Classic Radio Shows on cassette. The following are classic radio shows from Classic Radio Cassette Company. Let's join, and then, you know, Joe Penner.
Ah! You want to buy a duck?
And then when I heard that, it's everything changed. I was like, yes, Joe, I do want to buy a duck. I most emphatically do. I will purchase your duck, sir. I have seen it. And I got also Jack Manny. I like, it's not nostalgia or anything. I didn't come up with radio had already shifted sitcoms and things to pictures, obviously, when I was a kid. So I don't have any memory of that kind of thing. But the reason that I sort of enjoy it better is I don't always, my eyes get tired. And TV, it just requires you to stare at this. Occasionally, I would either like to, A, do something different with my eyes, e.g. crochet, needlepoint, pettipoint, embroidery, knit, knitpick, knitbroidery, rug hook, large format needlepoint. Geez, I'm not even halfway there. So all those are all, or fly fishing, tying fly fishing, and then you listen to the play. And I don't want to necessarily hear new ones. I want to hear old stuff that I know how it's going to go.
Well, they've got a lot of new radio theaters.
No, I don't know. I think it should be like Kabuki. Kabuki is wonderful because they stopped writing plays in the like 1890s. It's like, okay, that's enough. We got enough. It's hardly going to be able to do the ones we have. And I think maybe this theater in general, it's certainly that way with movies now, right? It's like, well, we just make the same ones now. I guess any kind of thing reaches that point. So there's not going to be anything new?
No, why? Well, you don't need anything new.
I thought that watching if it's a new version of a thing that's already been done, and I thought that watching, I saw the 2024 Nosferatu the other day, and I thought that was worth redoing. Perfect. Awesome. That's it. So that is better than, you know, like, let's do that one again. But I do like knowing what's going to happen, because I don't need that kind of tension in my life. I've got, real life is stressful enough. So when I see theater, I like it to be Shakespeare or some story I already know, because I don't need any surprises. The worst, so the best is like Shakespeare or Kabuki, where you know the story, or opera. And then the worst are emergency medical shows, unless they follow a really strict format where, like, yes, I've seen this one before. Otherwise, my God, why would you want to subject yourself to such things? Don't you already have to make, like, trips to the emergency room in the middle of the night with loved ones? It's like, boy, I'm glad we've been in the emergency room all night with Mom. You know, let's put on the TV. I'd like to see somebody else do it now. No, not really. I want to see Gilligan, the one where he makes love to a coconut. Did I make that one up? I don't know if that was. Children don't even know. I got to start referencing shows that were just on, and I don't know any. I feel like when I was young, people were like, yeah, you mean like Georgie Jessel? And you're like, I don't know who that is. And now I feel like people are doing that with me. So I got to come up with, what was just on the television? What was just on that I thought is still on, but was actually on 20 years ago or something, I wonder. Big Bum Theory? Oh, no, that's the adult film version. Big Bang Theory. You're saying, well, which is the adult film version? I don't even know. I never watched that show. I can name some shows I never watched. It's not because I'm above them. It's just because they sounded bad to me and I didn't want to see them. It's not, they're not beneath me. It's just, sometimes I'll go like a long time just watching things that are good. And I know that's not what I did when I was young. And people go like, have you ever seen so-and-so movie? And you go, no, what's good about it? The monster doesn't even look real. I go, okay, that's so fun. So why are we watching that? Do we feel superior because our high school movie scarier or something? I'm not sure. But that kind of thing wore off, maybe.
Man, this movie's so bad. It's good and then bad again.
Okay.
It cycles while you're watching it.
All right. So I don't know about that. And I do like watching some B stuff, you know, because sometimes it's been accidentally categorized as B because it's just B for budget. But it doesn't mean it's the quality is that. So sometimes it's just a low-budget movie, but it's got great stuff going. Can you name one? I guess when we went, the one when we went to visit Uncle Jack, and I guess it's in Miramar. Not Uncle Jack, Aunt Helen. And it was in Miramar. And there's footage of like them out on the sun porch. I don't know, just like, it's not sound. So I don't remember exactly what's going on. That one's a goodie. I know that a lot of people have seen that. But at one point there were, I'd probably 15 people knew about that film because some of them were in it. But a lot of those have been lost. Imagine films that a lot of people have seen that have been lost. It's the whole memory of it's gone. And oh my goodness, what does that mean? Not even sure. Did it even exist? So you think of you make a motion picture in the 20s or something, and then you show it to some people, and then it's lost forever, and then all the people who have ever seen it are gone. And maybe there's not anything really written about it. How do you know it existed? Precisely. But I will say this. If you throw a rock in a river, there is ripples that endure long after the rock has disappeared. And the rock could sink to a bottom and then into a hole in the bottom and be gone forever. And there's no evidence that a rock ever hit the surface except for something those ripples did. Now, they themselves might not be there, but they might have bumped into something else, sending a ripple. Everything has some sort of consequence. So nothing disappears. It's still there, embedded in history, and it's still in its causal chain or whatever it is. It hasn't gone away just because you don't remember it. So that is amazing and lovely to me. It gives our lives an extra dimension, too, because there's absolutely no way that you didn't have an effect in the world. Just as far as causes and relationships and everything, you existed. And you probably, you know, can you imagine if you're, let's say you were a time traveler, you come back, or you're from the past, and you come back, and they're going on about somebody in the past, and you're going, that so-and-so, everybody knew I was smarter and better than that so-and-so. I can't believe that nobody remembers me, and they all remember him. And just think how many times that's happened. It's lovely. I think it's wonderful. It should let you know, that standing out is not the point. And also, you have purpose in spite of yourself. And also, what you're probably complaining about is your inability to direct it or to, you know, come up with what it is. But you know, I guess I'm the leaf that bumped into that other leaf. Did it go on to cause a great thing? What's great? All things are great. They're all relative. Doesn't matter. So I think, though, this is the experience that's marvelous, isn't it? Oh, I hope you're having a good experience. Am I? Are you? You said you're a vampire. I am. I have risen from that ancient grave of radio people. And I've come back, and I've latched on, and there's so much on the station that's fresh. Well, there's a thing that's hanging on there. How's that? What's that about? Oh yes. Well, have you ever been to Prospect Park in Brooklyn? And you go, yes. You know how there's like a fenced off area in there? Yeah. And you know how like Montgomery Cliff is buried in there? Really? Yes. Okay. Well, that's me. That's me. 10 years ago. But it is me. I believe that. I love being, I don't mind being the corpse in the park. I think that's a, you know, there won't be a day again, I think, where, say, because all the people that are in lovely, lovely, important, smartest people have ever existed who are currently indulging me and my speaking. So I think you're great, Hardy. I love what you say. I love the way you speak and not tell stories. And I say thank you. That makes you a genius. And just one of the end of a kind, compassionate, good person. So I think let's all pat ourselves on the back a bit. You could tell marathon's coming up because I'm flattering you. But this is true. But we do realize that the world is changing and evolving in front of our very eyes. Our eyes are changing. Everything is changing. And that's why I've written this little song called It All Changes. I'll be putting this is the intro will go in here. Changes happening. The world. I'm going to go fix it later because I need to do some key. It's hard. It's technical to explain to folks that don't do it. But a lot of times you have to have the pitch adjusted artificially. And it's just a technical thing. Most ears will not be able to hear the difference between pitch that's been corrected and the original pitch. For instance, like, I'll just do my thing without the pitch correction, and you won't be able to tell. Here's just this, do, re, mi, fa, so, ba, ti, ta, do, right? That's perfect, but it could be more perfect. And the thing is, like, once it's in the song, it needs to be very precise, and that's the only reason that I would use any kind of pitch correction. Otherwise, it's wonderful to have such control over the human voice. Now, I'm being silly. I know I don't. I find it very difficult to pronounce familiar words sometimes. They just don't sound right. I'm worried that I'm not going to know when I'm having a stroke. Because I'll go to say a word and go, that didn't sound right. So I don't know. And if there's nobody around, how do you know you have aphasia? I mean, you could go all day having aphasia if you never speak or something, right? How would you know? So I was just all, I was thinking, my thoughts seemed correct. And then I went to speak and I was like, gibber gall, the home they had found the neck. And I go, oh no. So I'm not making light of it. It's just a fear I have because I have hypertension. And because a long line of people stroking the hell out. And so I'm worried about it. I try to take care of myself and you should too. And so if the doctor says, take your medicine, take other people's medicine, take any medicine, all medicines, not just the one they tell you, take whatever. And then, you know, be careful what you eat. I used to carry a salt shaker around and I would just put a pinch between my cheek and gums. Don't do that. What are the things you don't? Don't do anything where anybody would, like, criticize you or make you mad. So don't do anything. I try not to do anything. And that keeps my blood pressure down. And then I have white coat hypertension. It goes up when I'm at the doctor's. And I have to explain that to the doctor. And that's the very thing that scares me. So that's crazy. I know I shouldn't worry about this thing. Again, I'm not making light of health things. I am and I'm not, you know. I think sometimes we're a little too scared of being mortal. And it's really just very silly and should be made light of. Well, won't God? No. So I think that's why I try to do it too. And that's why I like Halloween and spooky things. Doesn't it? Takes the little, you know, you feel like you're in control of the creepy. You know, you ever have a nightmare where you go, wait, stop the nightmare. I have some notes. Like, I'm taking charge of this nightmare. A, lighting, all wrong. You know, I could do that. And then they go, oh, wait. They tell you that in some nightmares. If you're being pursued, if you have like a recurring dream, there's a tiger chasing me or something. You stop, you turn around, and you look the tiger right in the eye, and you go, excuse me, You can use whatever insult you want. I don't know what that one I don't feel super comfortable with. So you excuse me. You. I like that one. And then a lot of times the tiger will like turn into Charles Nelson Reilly or something. I'm sorry. And you go, oh, so you were chasing me, you know. I feel awful. You say, oh, that's okay, Charles Nelson Reilly. I think it, I would, well, you know, I don't want AI, but I also want to resurrect the dead. And it would be great to have some favorite actors that are gone back in my favorite movies, or me be able to do it with a touch of a button. But I don't want to do that. See how obsolete that makes me? Because I'm doing stuff like, you know, oh, what if, you know, what if Darren McGavin was in blah, 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 blah. And you go, oh, you know, the machine does that better. And I go, all right, well, I don't know what to tell you. I like to think that you're here for the imperfections. I like to think that I am keeping alive a sort of performance wabi-sabi. Something that's slightly broken or off-kilter, you know, not perfectly polished. Going to destroy ourselves with wanting everything to have finish to it. Kind of impossible finish that we can't bring to it ourselves, making us feel inferior. You know, it's like having a god that makes you feel bad about yourself. So, oh, I'm never going to be like Blobus. Who's Blobus? Oh, it's my god. He's perfect. Well, you know, nothing that makes you feel bad about yourself is going to be something to aspire to. So it's best to aspire to sort of a humanness, a temporariness, embrace it. You know, the mono no aware of radio, of everything. That's the kind of the sadness of the temporariness of things, you know. Kind of wistfulness. You know, it's beauty lies in the fact that it's transient, you know? It's making me so aware of the experience. It's expanding the now into a sort of infinite, and that's overwhelming. It almost makes you want to cry. You know, that's a thing to go for, isn't it? That'd be a lovely state to be in. And so I embrace those imperfections. And I let myself break and show you the repair and that kind of thing. And it doesn't diminish the art, and it doesn't diminish the connection. I think it makes it better. You ever listen to... beg your pardon. You ever been listening to the radio, and let's say it's like maybe it's a fundraising drive for public radio... And I'm dating myself, which is so embarrassing because, you know, 9 out of 10 times I get asked to go home early. But I'm dating myself here saying that public radio, but they used to have, there'd be a lot of phoniness about it. I'm sorry, but they really didn't want to offend anybody because they wanted to get money. So there was a insincerity to the sincerity. It was so affected. And I remember they kind of turned me off. I volunteered a couple of times and it didn't go well because they, what are you doing? You're speaking in a way that is not the way we speak. And I was like, but yeah, but I like everything that's on. I'm on team. Let's raise money for it. But it's so strange. There's just a cadence. And we know that you can help us achieve our goal of bringing you more of something. And that's something right there. Now, I'm joined here today with Tom, and Tom is a realtor. It's a Don. And yes, I'm a local realtor. And I think one of the things I like about the programming is it is for us, and you, the listener, are someone that we're thinking about as we're getting these shows and shows you love, which I could go on and name them. Everybody has one that they like. And I was to me, that I don't feel like a person speaking to me. I want to feel like I want to be seen or acknowledged. My humans acknowledged. My imperfections acknowledged. You know, every doesn't have to be a performance because we are living the social media thing too, right? There's a, how real is it? When they started with those reality shows, they should have put reality in quotes day one because it's like they had their, they were like, this, we're calling this reality TV. And what is it really? It's just, it's no different than Curb Your Enthusiasm. So it's just an improvised, it doesn't have a script, but it has a script. It doesn't have a script, it has a story. Let's put it that way. And then it's improvising, editing. And then all suddenly it's real. And then suddenly all that seeps in and then you think that real has to sound and look like that. I think messes with it. I'm just saying this as a person of weak intellect. Now, a lot of you are thinking like, you know, as the human equivalent of a Vulcan, I, hearty, am immune to these manipulations. And I'm, well, good for you. I'm so sorry. But, like, I'm thirsty to have any culture, and so I just take the poisonous one that's given me. I drank from the poison water, like everybody in the town. Because that's what I'm, you know, that's what I go for. I'm not going to say, oh, I don't need water. I'm different than everyone. So I throw myself into the culture and I sup on it. Do you sup on it? I sup upon it. I sup and suck. I suck and sup my soup. I was watching a McMillan and Wife the other day, first season, season one, episode, I want to say three. And one of the characters' name was Soup. Now, I don't know what, I mean, if I knew some people's last name was Kitchen, and I would go ahead and that'd probably be a good nickname or something, but that's not the case here. But I don't know how I got the name Soup, doesn't say it. My grandmother's first cousin's name was Cheese, so I understand that. But this guy's name was Soup. But then there's another character on the same show called Big Shoes. And I don't think you can do that where you have the like two kind of weird nicknames. One, Big Shoes was a bad guy and not Cheese. Now so I'm all messed up. Soup. And Soup is just not a good nickname. What's a food nickname that would also not be good? That would hard to roll. Yeast roll. Yeast roll's cool. Roll is not a great. I can't think of any other foods. People like to say, tell a joke. And you go, wait a minute. I can just talk, and then I'm going to probably talk myself into a joke. But if you said, tell a joke right now, so a guy walks into a, nah, it's not there. Oh, I'm thirsty. I must have diabetes. That's the punchline. I'll save you all the rest of the setup. Oh, you bless me so much by staying with me. I do feel like if this is a... Sometimes it feels like that you're a volunteer at the old folks' home. And you go, I'm going to damn well visit with Mr. White. I get a kick out of him. He does go on, but I know that he enjoys the company. And he will go on about radio back in the day and all that. And that's what I feel like. And it doesn't diminish it for me and it shouldn't for you. So if you are listening to me out of charity, I think that's grand. I am for that. That's a lovely thing to do. I mean, those of you who are really enjoying it, I think we're even. You know, you're getting something, I'm getting something. I love it. I listen because it's funny. That's great. That's ideal. But those who are like, it's like, oh, I really don't enjoy it, but, you know, Hardy appreciates it. That's almost better. I think that's better. So I hope you're not enjoying the show and that but you're just so big-hearted. And you can even, it's not bad to lie to insecure people. And I'm not insecure. So it's even better to lie to me. And just to add to that security, because even though I am secure and confident, I don't have any savings, I'm not sure. Well, if, you know, so what if something rattles that? Like someone, there's a, like a mild insult.
Well, I don't know if that was your best show, Hardy.
All my reserves are gone. I plummet into the depths of despair. If only I had reserved some compliments I could go to. I get, if you're, you know, my skin's getting a little thin to tattoo, but I think if you send, there should be maybe a compliment contest, and I'll go ahead and get the winner on my forearm in Latin. So maybe it's just in the form of a motto or something like that. I'm certainly I feel as lucky as Lou Gehrig. And he was the luckiest man on earth. And he said so. He said, I am the luckiest man on, Lou Gehrig, am the luckiest. He was a baseball player and a disease. And he was, but he said this, I'm the luckiest person. And I think that's how I feel. And I don't, will I ever get the privilege of having a disease named after me? Maybe not. Do you care one way or the other? No. Weirdly. One, it's not that they cancel each other out or something. It's like, oh, you know, we've got good news and bad news. What is it? You're dying of Hardy White disease. Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. We all got to go sometime. I'm sorry I won't be around to enjoy, you know, all the fundraisers with my name on it. But so be it. Oh, it's good to be. It's good to still, if you're listening to this, you're still here. Don't despair. I love you. We need you. Whoa, it's not you. You're not even the problem. You're part of the wonderfulness. If you're saying, well, I'm just bobbing in a sea of obscurity, you're the type we want. More of you.
So I'm just a nobody living my quiet life of desperation.
King, queen. Yes. Because you're not a vampire. So bless you. Oh, my goodness. We all, some of us, sort of lie in a crypt during the day and call it an office. And then say, I could only come out at night, but then I'm too tired, so I just watch television. And that's a sort of, you know, people have played with that theme and everything. But I always like thinking it this way. Instead of a vampire, it's like, what if during the day I'm a Frankenstein monster, and then at night I'm the mummy? I'll work that out. I don't know exactly what that means. Frankenstein is, and I've gone on, you know, I did a whole show on Mary Shelley. I'll have to go back and look for it. We did a whole show on Mary Shelley and a character I do called Percy Bysshe Shelley Berman, which is a hilarious send-up where I'm kind of Shelley Berman, but it's the 19th century. When did I do that? I did. I actually did Shelley Berman's Frankenstein. Gosh, I actually did that. I feel like an idiot. I've already made the pun. I've done the pun. Oh, that's weird. I already did a whole joke, did a whole bit. And here I am. I hope you're a new listener. Because otherwise you're thinking, oh, Hardy's having memory problems. I might be. I hope I am. There's a lot I need to forget. So I hope that I've forgotten that part. Some you don't want to forget, and some you do. I forget jokes, faces, appointments, and to take my blood pressure medicine. Things I remember are beautiful sunsets, friendly people, a good grilled cheese. Well, we are getting to the near the end of the program, and I will again express my thanks to you. You know, week after week, year after year, you have tuned in to this show, Dale, and others. I'm sure there's lots of people. But, you know, I really do appreciate it. And now we're going on, we're all growing older together. It's just, but I hope I'm here long enough where I have outlived some of you already. Let's see how far we can go. Let's all outlive one another and just keep going. And I think it'd be fun. And we could just, what are you living for? I'm living for the next program on WFMU. But the good thing, there's always a program on WFMU. So there's always something to live for. And even to hate listen. You could listen 24 hours a day if you commit to hate listening. And you're going to hear stuff you love. And then you will hear stuff that you don't love. And you need that contrast in your night. That's a sweet, salty, vinegar. It's a compliment. You know, foods, all good foods. You go, wow, that's spicy, but it's also not spicy. It's tart, but it's also like flat and gross and fatty. And I hope we do that and combine those elements. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Pope, 91.9 in Rockland County, in New York City, New York, and online, WFMU.org. And we are so thankful. We, me, and all the gang here, which is just me doing different voices. I'm so embarrassed, but that's true. Really want to thank you for your continued listen. We've got the marathon coming up, you know, in the weeks ahead, in the first weeks of March. And I'm very excited to be on. I'm supposed to say who I'm co-hosting with yet? Maybe I'll keep it a secret. But I'm going to be co-hosting with people I haven't ever co-hosted with before, which that may be a lie. No, I think it's true. I have never co-hosted with these people before. One of them, I don't know that I've had a conversation in person with. Maybe either one. I've never. Well, one of them I sat at a silently eating lunch with. So we were sitting together, but we said nothing to one another and ate lunch together. But there wasn't an incident or anything. All right. Oh, my gosh. I love you. I'll see you again next week.
special in every way imaginable. You love me from my hair follicle to my toenails. You got me feeling like the breeze, easy and free and lovely and me. Oh, when you touch me, I just can't control it. When you touch me,